You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
There's more than one way to support the WCNO ministry. Prayerfully and financially are only the two most obvious. But did you realize how important it is for you to let the programmers and corporate underwriters know that you heard about them right here at WCNO Radio? That's right. Always mention the call letters WCNO when you write, call, or visit the ministries or supporters of WCNO. That's WCNO. Portions of WCNO's broadcast day is underwritten by RW Plumbing Limited Liability Corporation. RW Plumbing is a certified plumbing contractor with over 20 years of experience in all areas of plumbing services. And RW Plumbing is a clean professional plumber who is knowledgeable and one who will treat you and your property with respect and care. That's RW Plumbing, available at 561-452-5269.
Preach Jesus. Let Jesus be preached and Jesus be taught, and let his spirit lead, and the church will last. And then you have that church was built upon the rock, and the gates of hell won't be successful to prevail against it.
Welcome to Capturing His Conscience with Pastor Bernard King, Sr. Pastor Bernard is Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. The focus of our ministry is to be more than ordinary servants for an extraordinary God. This is your host, Tom Moon. In today's program, we're going to continue the series on the book of Hosea. Pastor Bernard will be teaching from Hosea chapter 8, verses 10 through 14. We also want to remind parents that Hosea includes adult-related themes that may not be appropriate for young children. So please use discretion in allowing your children to listen to this message. In today's program, Pastor Bernard will continue his discussion on practices that place God's people in a position to be punished. We are going to pick up with the message as Pastor Bernard talks about how our actions can invite judgment from God. Now here's Pastor Bernard with the continuation of the eviction of God and the embracing of idolatry, part 3.
Here's the thought, church. Whenever God's people, when we cancel out the commandments of God, we invite judgment. When we cancel out the covenants of God, don't you know it punctures your personal relationship with Jesus Christ? When you say, I don't need the Bible, I won't turn to the Bible, I don't turn to the scriptures for my direction. What you fail to realize is that you can come here and worship every Sunday. You can go out and do mission work, spiritual ministry. However, when you don't walk under the biblical mandates, when you don't follow the word of God, what you have is a broken, busted relationship. Truth be told, church, you're not tight with God when you do that. We become a house divided. We come here on Sunday morning. We should be on the same page. We should be on the same page with God. But if we don't even adhere and respect his word, your relationship with God, you're not walking together. No matter how often you pray, unless you pray a prayer of repentance, you're not really walking with God. Don't we see the lesson? Hold your place here. Hold your place here. Turn to Amos chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. God says, let me help you come out of your religiosity. You have a false assessment of where you are with God right now. You say, I got a good relationship with God. Me and JC are doing really good. Don't disrespect the Lord by calling him JC. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Look at Amos 3. Amos spells it out this way, verses 1 to 3. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel. Who's the word for, God? Against the whole family. Which family, God? Which I brought up from the land of Egypt. saying, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth." Pause. Consider all the nations. God, there was only one nation that I chose to represent me, one nation that I chose to reveal who I am to the whole world so they can get redemption. One nation, that my one family, and that family was Israel. You only have I known, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. And verse 3, can two walk together except they be what? Agreed. Can you walk with me every Sunday and every Wednesday night service or Saturday night service? And God is saying, I got people saying they're in agreement with me, but they're not. We don't agree how they raise their kids. We don't agree how they do their money. We don't agree how they carry themselves. We don't agree on their philosophies in life. We don't really agree on anything. We're not really in agreement. Just because they call themselves Baptist or Presbyterian or whatever your religious affiliation is, and they lean to some tenets, and they lean to a philosophy and a style of ministry, God says, how can I walk with you to church? Did God walk with you this morning when you came in? Are you in agreement with him right now? Are you on the same page with God? With your life. Get in agreement with God. Israel was not in agreement with God. You see, I like to communicate this to you this way. We know that a house divided, what? Can't stand. How can a relationship with God grow and flourish, and how can he be the biggest influence in your life when you don't even agree with his word? You unbuckle unity. And the picture God gave me, the unbuckling of unity. See, the belt is his truth. And we are strapped into that truth. And long as we're strapped into truth, we are one with God. But once you unbuckle the seatbelt of truth, once you unbuckle it, guess what? Unity is out the way and you are vulnerable. Every mom, every parent know you take your child and you put them in that seat. And you make sure they're in that seat, that baby seat. And you make sure you put the strap on and you strap them in. And when you strap them in, they get the security. They have the protection. Hey, body of Christ, don't you unbuckle your seatbelt with God. Stay in agreement. Stay united with him. You say, it's too tight. Israel will say, it's too tight. His rituals, his rules, and the way he wants to be worshipped is too restricting, and I can't get loose. I just want to cut loose and be set free, and that's what we've done with God today. God, your Bible is too restrictive. God, your Bible is too tight. Can you loosen up a little bit, God, when it comes down to marriage? Can you loosen up a little bit, God, when it comes down to what I do with money? Can you loosen up a little bit, God? Come on. Cut me up some slack, God. And you have that disposition toward God, and God says, but we're supposed to be in agreement on these things. But we're not in agreement. Let's go back to our text. Turn back now to the book of Hosea. So again, point number 5, steps of self-preservation secured the judgment of God. God was going to judge him anyway. Someone has said that the wheels of judgment, sometimes they turn slow. And God is using that to bring her people back, bring his people back to him. Okay, Pastor, what's that 6th point? We got to get to their religiosity then because they stink real bad. Sacrifices smelled of hypocrisy and ritualism. Their sacrifices smelled of hypocrisy and ritualism. Verse 11, because Ephraim had made many altars to sin, altars shall be unto him to sin. Here's what you know, church. One of the many items of what I call the items in Israel's grocery cart of sin. They had a gross grocery cart of sin was the hypocrisy and the ritualism. They built all kinds of idols. They foolishly built many idols, many altars, but all the altars they was building, it naturally led them to sin. So we should not be surprised that these altars had no power but to influence them away from God. In verse 12, God says, I have written to you great things of my law, but you counted it as a strange thing. Interesting. God says, I gave you my word, I gave you the law of God. But now the law of God is a stranger. My thoughts, my word, my law. And now you're more familiar with idols and sin. Translation, Israel rejected the word of God. God's done great things for Israel. Again, parting the Red Sea, 10 miracles and signs, set them above the nation, helping her to conquer all her enemies, and now he's treated like a stranger. Here's what I want you to know, church. God and his words will become strangers to those who are set in idolatry and sin. Whenever you park in idolatry, whenever you continue to deliberately practice sin, what you're doing basically, all of a sudden you find yourself in a very precarious situation. I will submit to you, spiritually dangerous situation, because the word of God is no longer familiar. It's a stranger to you. It has no effect. You don't engage. You don't relate. You don't apply. You're no longer familiar. You won't even consult the word anymore. You see, the cardinal person will not do that. The cardinal man will not consult the word of God. The cardinal man, he can't comprehend or seek the word of God. Don't treat God like he's a stranger. Don't treat God and his word like they're strangers in your house. You go into a home, God says, I'm the invited guest. You let me in, but now you've evicted me out and you treat me like a stranger. When we don't consult God in all matters of our lives, we treat God and his word like he's a stranger. Church, that's a dangerous situation. You can't be walking with God. And the personal application is God a stranger? Let's personalize it. Is God a stranger in my heart? Is God and his word, is he a stranger to my mind? Or am I very familiar and very close and he has the greatest influence in my life? And when God becomes a stranger and his word becomes a stranger, guess what? Then you can break his law, you can break his word, you can live ungodly, you can practice like the pagan, you can follow the secularist, you can follow those that are antichrist, and you embrace an antichrist spirit when God is a stranger and his word is a stranger. How so, Pastor? Look what they did in verse 13. They made sacrifices. They sacrificed flesh for the sacrifices of my offerings and eat it, but the Lord accepted them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins, they shall return to Egypt. Application. Here's what happens. When you help yourself to a good dose of idolatry, when you create all these altars to accommodate your politics, to accommodate your desires, to accommodate the wishes and the philosophy of your people group, when you accommodate and you bring together all these idols to meet you where you want to be, you invite judgment. Here's what the church does. What does that look like in the church today? When we major on man-centered faith, in other words, my faith would be established on what makes me feel good, what I can get, where I can be rewarded. Don't want to talk about personal change or personal responsibility. Everything about ministry must be for the masses of the people, must accommodate the people, must make the people happy, must make the people safe, must make the people have the people believe that they don't really have to be accountable to God and they can still get to heaven. A man-centered faith. Because when you got a man-centered faith, you don't have to follow the Ten Commandments. When you got a man-centered faith, you don't have to conduct yourself in a way. You forget that God is holy when you got a man-centered faith. So if we have churches that are accommodating a man-centered faith, it's no surprise about the results. What are the results, Pastor? I pray. Oh, please pray for us and pray for this church and pray for each other that we will not be a church that's man-centered. Because once we become man-centered and psychologized and walk into the things of man, here's what happens to Cornerstone Bible Fellowship. We will be impotent, we'll be ineffective, and in essence, an idolatrous church. Did you hear me? We would be impotent, ineffective, in an idolatrous church. We can have multiple observances. We can have all types of programs. We can have a plethora of programs. We can have a whole lot of money. We can have resources. We can have big, majestic buildings and all types of programs, as I say. But guess what? In God's eyes, it's just wood, hay, and stubble. I don't want that kind of church. How about you? We don't want to be wood, hay, and stubble. So keep this pastor in prayer that I understand what our good friend in Zechariah said. He says, not by power and not by might, but by his spirit, said the Lord. Amen. That's how things will change at Cornerstone Bible Fellowship. That's how people repent. Men start getting jobs. Catch that one, ladies. Men get jobs and provide for their families and be the spiritual leader in their home. Women are loyal, children are obedient, church begin to grow and prosper in the things of God because they're being a light that shines on a hill. As long as we keep the understanding that it's not my education, it's not my presentation, it's not my style, it's not my philosophy, and it's not even money and resources. It's the Spirit of God that draws men. God draws men, and God says if his Son is lifted up, he will draw men unto him. There's a false thing out there today, and I want to speak to that, and that false philosophy is you build a big building, the people will come. My question is, what kind of people? No, you preach Jesus. Let Jesus be preached and Jesus be taught and let his spirit lead and the church will last. And then you have that church was built upon the rock. And the gates of hell won't be successful to prevail against it. Yes, they built all these idols and they erected these things and for it's supposed to be places of reverence and places of fearing God, but these places of altars were erected that led them to more idolatry. God says, I'm sick of these altars and I'm sick of these religious practices. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11, God put it this way. He spoke to that prophet, and the prophet said in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11, just write it down for homework. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? What's the rationale behind what you're doing? Why are you creating all these idols and why are you creating all these altars? What is the purpose of your churches, your church practice, and your religiosity? What's the purpose of all that, said the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings of rams and fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or the lambs or the he-goats. In other words, God says, you're making me sick with all these offerings because these offerings are not genuine and these offerings are not pure. Yeah, you look very religious. But God says, I have no need for them. I'm not interested in them. Cornerstone Bible Fellowship, let's make sure that we are very careful that when we bring an offering to the Lord, we bring a sacrifice of praise, we bring a sacrifice what he loves, what he values, because we're not in it. It's all about him. What an indictment. Holy God says, I'm sick of your church services. Sick of your mission programs, your trips, your projects, all these things. They make me sick to my stomach. It's so many. You're doing so many things. Get back to the real thing. Loving me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Then I know you give the right sacrifice. Because remember, I'm a spirit, and those that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. So the Lord said, I'm not going to accept, going back to Hosea, I'm not going to accept your sacrifices that she offers me. Instead, I'm going to punish her for her sin, and I'm going to send her back into exile. Look at the end of verse 13. The end of verse 13. They shall return to Egypt. Now, we know the Exodus, over 400 years of bondage. God raised the man of God, Moses, and his brother Aaron, and they went in, and they rescued and led the nation of Israel out of captivity, where, you know, that's why we observe the Passover. And that's why we see that God was their deliverer. And that same God is the same God today. Now, what God is speaking in this context, with this verse, he's just giving them example. See, Egypt stands for a symbol. Symbolically, Egypt represents the house of bondage. Would you go back to the house of bondage, church? It's like the crack addict going back to the crack house, the drunkard or the alcoholic going back to the drug, to the booze and the liquor store, going back to places, going back to mindsets that crippled you, that made you ineffective, that kept you unhappy. Let me tell you something. When I came to Jesus Christ, I want nothing that the world has for me. Do you want to go back to where you came from? Don't go back, Cornerstone. Don't go back to the world. The devil's going to whisper in your ear and say, oh, you're missing out. Don't you miss that? Fun? No, it wasn't fun. It was bondage. I mean, weren't you having a good time? No, I was the most miserable person in my life. Let me tell you something, devil. Sometimes you just got to confront the enemy. How many of you guys know you got to confront the enemy? You got to confront him with your word. Say, look, all that thing that alcohol did was destroy my liver, put me in a position to kill myself and other people if I'm driving under the influence. Only thing that those relationships, practicing sexuality outside of God's design, only brought disease and brokenness and destruction and ruin. I know they say it's cool today and it's hip today and it's sensationalized, but God says it's an act of death. Egypt, again, stands for a symbol for the place of bondage, and they're going to have future bondage because of their sin. And that's why the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, since you cast me out, you evicted me, you moved yourself from grace, and you're going back to the world to get grace? You're going back to Egypt? Come on, Cornerstone Bible Fellowship. We can't act like Egypt, and we should not run back to Egypt. We should run toward the Lord. Point number seven, practice number seven. Self-sufficiency showcased her unfaithfulness. And point number eight, self-fixation led her to forget about her maker. Self-sufficiency showcased her unfaithfulness, and self-fixation led her to forget about her maker. Look at verse 14 now. For Israel had forgotten his maker and built temples, and Judah had multiplied fenced cities, but I will send a fire upon his cities and shall devour the palaces thereof. We don't need God. We got a military. So what we'll do, we'll build more buildings. We'll build more fortresses. We'll wall our cities in. We'll build walls because, you know, we have these alliances with these foreign nations. And what we're going to do in our self-sufficiency, because I don't need God anymore. What does that look like today? Well, God, I've got my PhD. I've got my training. I've got my instruction. Yet it was God that gave you a mind, that got you up and gave you a presence of mind so you can maintain material that you had to study and prepare for and successfully demonstrate to a college professor to meet their expectations, to not just pass their class, but to be excellent in their class. It was Almighty God that gave you the grace and gave you the eyes to see, a mouth to speak, ears to hear, power to attain, to retain the information. And now that you've got your PhD, and now that you've got your high job, and now that you've got your position of influence, and now that the money's coming in, now you're flowing, you forget God. I got my 10,000 square foot house, God. I can travel and visit wherever I want. I got all my bills paid. I got money in the bank. God, I even pay for my own health insurance. I don't even need the other kind of insurance. I'm doing really good, God. Is that right? You forget God? You're so self-sufficient that you can operate independently. You did not make anything. It's only by the grace of God that we are, folks. It's only because of God's goodness. Israel forgot their maker. And when you forget your maker, you can treat him anyway. When you forget your maker, you don't respect him anymore. When you forget your maker, you're in line with the world. And now God is a stranger, and you don't even know your Bible anymore. Israel forgot the maker and said, we're going to build our own temples. We're going to build our own kind of churches. We're going to follow our own philosophy of ministry. We don't need the word of God to help us with our ministry anymore. God says, you would think Judah, remember, Israel's divided now. You have the nation of Israel in the north and Judah in the south. And God says, Judah wasn't even paying attention. Instead of rebuking Israel, they join in. They join in their rebellion. And he specifically included them as the indictment at this point. They forgot that their very existence as a nation, who birthed Israel? Who created Israel? Who made Israel majestic? Who blessed her and gave her power over her enemies? Who made her a great nation? Who gave her a name above all nations? And all the nations look in envy, and all the nations look in awe. Who was it but Jehovah? And you forgot me? What an indictment from this prophet. No longer, I bet he wouldn't be invited to a lot of churches today. But yet he revealed a very true reality that when you get so full of yourself and you move yourself into idolatry and you move yourself into hypocritical, ritualistic religion, and you're more concerned about your religious tag and your religious label versus your relationship with God, and it's no wonder that our nation and our churches have forgotten the God of the Bible. And the God of the Bible is missing in churches today. I want to be more than an ordinary servant. I want to be more.
We thank you for joining us today for the continuation of Pastor Bernard's message, The Eviction of God and the Embracing of Idolatry, Part 3. In today's message, Pastor Bernard discussed what it means to have a biblical view of God. What is your view of God? Do you view him in accordance with the scriptures? Or have you eliminated those aspects of his character that are uncomfortable for you? Yes, God is a loving and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. But God is also a holy God who judges and punishes sin. In order to have a relationship with him, we must first repent of our sin. He will be faithful to show us mercy and not judgment. To learn more about having a relationship with God, visit our website at cbfdelray.org. We invite you to join us for the next program on Thursday at 1 p.m. Capturing His Conscience is a ministry of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. This ministry is supported by listeners like you. If Capturing His Conscience has been a blessing to you, please prayerfully consider visiting our website and making a donation to support this work of the Lord. Until next time, this is Tom Moon encouraging you to be more than an ordinary servant for an extraordinary God.